Rather than losing money in Las Vegas, I found it at the conference and on the show floor of NAB. Here are three areas TV content service companies can leverage now to generate new revenue. This is Endscreen Noise. My name is Colin Dixon, founder and chief analyst at Endscreen Media, and today is April 18th, 2024. Anytime you head to Las Vegas, as I did this week for the annual NAB convention, there are plenty of ways to lose money. You can gamble it away, of course, or you can do what I did and wind up paying 25% more for your hotel stay because of the mandatory, not previously disclosed facilities fees. Come on, guys, include it. Give me the top line number, would you? Or you can even pay 50 cents for oat milk creamer for your overpriced convention center wishy-washy coffee, as I always did. So, as I say, plenty of ways to lose money, but it is far harder to find money in Vegas. But I did, or rather, I uncovered new ways to make money from video assets and your services. And that's what I want to talk about today. But first, how big is the US television industry? Well, I have the answer, and I'll be sharing it live on April 18th at 11 a.m. on TVOT Connect. If you haven't attended a session yet, you really must, because it is your opportunity to be heard, learn, and network. I'll be breaking down the US television market, and then we'll have a more open discussion of everything we heard and saw at NAB. And we'll be really looking to hear from you about what interested you at the show. So join us for this live-only session. You can get more information by pointing your browser at itvt.com/TVOT/connect. That's itvt.com/TVOT/connect. And if you miss this free session, don't worry. There's another TVOT Connect session coming in the next 2 weeks. Now, back to the podcast. So at NAB 2024, I moderated a panel entitled Score Big, How to Keep Sports Fans Loyal and Hooked. And I asked each of my panelists to suggest one thing a team or league should do now to deepen fan and customer engagement. Well, as I listened to my panelists' answers to this question, I realized what they had to say applied just as well to TV services, and it actually reflected a lot of the things I had already seen on the show floor. So, what I'm going to do is I'm going to review what each one of the panelists said, and then we'll talk about exactly what this means to traditional TV services as well. First, I want to talk about what Vishal Parikh had to say. He's the Chief Product Officer of LiveLike. And so what LiveLike does, by the way, is it gamifies experiences, media experiences. And that's a great way, by the way, of finding new value in your content and more deeply engaging your customer, gamify the experience. But actually, his answer sort of stepped outside of these interactive sports stats and live chat features that the company's fan engagement suite can deliver. Instead, he advises starting a loyalty program. He said, introducing a loyalty program could be as simple as a virtual currency. It could be rewards. It could be tiers and status. And I've got to tell you, I totally agree with him. Now, loyalty programs have been a mainstay of many industries like retail, airlines, and hotels for decades. And there's a reason they are. A 2021 McKinsey study found that 3 out of 4 members of a top-performing loyalty program changed their behavior to generate more value for the business. That's 3 out of 4. Now, nearly 2/3 were more likely to purchase more frequently, and 35% were more likely to choose one brand over its competitors, all based on a loyalty rewards program. Now, loyalty programs are rare in this TV space. I can think, of course, of one rewards TV which has done it, but none of the majors have added a rewards program yet. And I'm sort of accepting Amazon here. Amazon Prime is the rewards program, and actually the video service is just part of that. It's not like the rewards program is actually part of Amazon Prime. Now, some video services have recognized that there are value in loyalty programs. We have several companies who have allowed access to members of a retail rewards program, have allowed them to get access to their ad-supported tiers. For example, Peacock's done this. Members of Walmart Plus can get access to Peacock's entry-level ad-supported tier. And this makes a lot of sense for Peacock and NBCU because it helps promote the service. They get additional ad revenue from it. So I think it makes a lot of sense. However, I think the McKinsey study really suggests that video services could benefit directly from loyalty programs. And what Vishal was hinting at with loyalty programs for these sports apps and sports fan apps, what he was suggesting they would do is they will boost engagement and get people to choose to come back to your service more often. And if you're doing those things, if you're boosting engagement and getting people to come back to your service, your ad views are going to go up, your churn is going to go down, and that means your customer lifetime value will increase. So those three things are guaranteed to drive new revenue, new found money for your video service. Okay, so that was what one of my panelists had to say, Vishal Parikh. Another of my panelists, Tremont Thomas, who is a VP of Brand, Digital, Social, and Creative at the Phoenix Suns, he had a different idea. He explained that to deliver the right experience, it was essential to create very custom content strategies for every platform. But he emphasized that the experience must fit the fan. And he explained this way. There are different levels of fandom. The super fans may know all the history and may play trivia games about the Charles Barkley era, to someone who just likes the Suns because they like Devin Booker. Putting the latter in an environment where they need to know the entire team's history would likely be off-putting, right? If a lot of the references and a lot of the media that they're seeing inside of the app doesn't reflect their interest in Devin Booker, they're probably going to be turned off. Instead, Mr. Thomas recommends providers, quote, figure out the different levels of fandom and why they come and engage with you, and be intentional engaging with them across all your platforms. And this actually reflects the fact that knowing your audience is probably the most powerful tool you can wield in growing revenue. The old saw, your current customers are your best new customers, I think has never been more true in the streaming age. But you can't really leverage them unless you know them. Look at what Crunchyroll is doing. Crunchyroll has really specialized in the anime market, is growing extremely well. And one of the things that they have done from the very start is know that anime audience. And they've really been guided by what that audience is looking for. That knowledge helped the service launch a very successful merchandising business. They've launched an anime conference. And it has also helped them create great content, which keeps people addicted to the service. So I think that that's a great example of a company that knows its customers really well and produces products that it knows the customers want. And knowing your audience allows you to create these new things that they will want to buy. And I think far from feeling taken advantage of, they will likely thank you for the opportunity. And that is another example of some great found money. The final area is actually a theme that I saw repeated several times, actually many times at NAB. And it was brought up by Mike Chiodini, who is the VP of Strategy and Business Development at Endeavor Streaming. Endeavor Streaming, by the way, is a turnkey video platform solution to sports organizations. It allows them to simply launch O&O services, O&O experiences in a turnkey fashion. So very hands-off. They can just bring the content and launch their service. What he had to say in answer to my question about advising what people should do right now is he said repurposing existing social content into an existing direct-to-consumer offering. He went on to highlight one of the key values of the approach to users. He says it will centralize the fan journey and take advantage of what you're already generating. He actually complimented the Phoenix Suns and NBA. Remember, Tremont Thomas is part of the Phoenix Suns organization. He complimented them on what they were doing in repurposing content into the O&O app and creating that unified experience. And the approach is working, as Mr. Thomas said, that the Suns have successfully gotten people to download and use the Suns app. And let me tell you, that it is not easy to do that. You may remember I interviewed Damian Pelliccioni of Reverie, and he was saying how difficult it was to get to transition people from, say, social media into an O&O app. Well, Mr. Thomas is saying he's actually been very successful in doing so. And part of that, I think, is because he's duplicating the content that you would find in social media inside the app. He's leveraging it there too. So I think this is a great example of figuring out and leveraging the content in new ways, and it's a great way of finding new money from old assets. And if there's one thing we know for sure, the media companies have a lot of assets. And here is, I think, an area where we can really exploit AI to create new value from those old assets. And there were a raft of companies at NAB who want to help out with that. Now, I'm going to talk about Moments Lab. You remember I interviewed Philippe Petitpont on this podcast a few weeks ago about Moments Lab and its renaming from Newsbridge to Moments Lab. And I think I explained then why exactly Newsbridge retitled themselves to Moments Lab. But just to remind you, they're using AI to really figure out all of the important moments in a video clip. So they're basically decomposing videos with AI. The videos go in and recognize what's going on in every scene. They then compose those scenes into what they call moments and understand what that moment is about. That's the really significant thing. It's figuring out what the clip is about and whether it's important or not in the context of the whole show. Now, what he suggested doing with the Moments Lab toolkit was repurposing content for TikTok and Instagram. So sort of going in the reverse direction that the Suns are going with their YouTube stuff and bringing it into the O&O app. He gave a great example. He showed me an example of a Family Feud episode, and the AI had gone in, recognized what was going on, and pulled out 4 or 5 sections where Steve Harvey and his guests were being very amusing. I watched some of the clips and they were pretty funny. And what he said was that these clips were perfect fodder for the TikTok generation. Each one of these half-hour episodes can generate 5 or more, quote, stories to put on TikTok or Instagram. And the great thing is that the audiences on these platforms almost certainly have never heard of Family Feud, wouldn't watch traditional television. So you are reaching a completely new audience with repurposed content and generating new ad revenue that you would never have been able to generate before. So I think this is a really strong message I found throughout the halls in NAB, leveraging AI to understand what your content is and understand how you can repurpose it and do more with what you've got. And I think if anything, if that is the biggest lesson to learn here, it's that AI can help you reprocess even extremely large libraries where you may even know what you've got in that library. It will be able to help you process that and extract new value from it in new ways. So that's some of the things that I learned at NAB that suggested to me that there is plenty of opportunity to find new revenue in your video service. If you would like to get a rough transcript of this podcast, you can come to the Endscreen Media website and just look for the posting latest Endscreen Noise posting. You'll find that probably right at the top of the list of new analysis. And while you're there, if you haven't already, sign up for the newsletter. This has been Colin Dixon with Endscreen Media. I'll talk with you again next time.
This podcast is the property of Endscreen Media, all rights reserved.